CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired. You have to have more black people in the Asians. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. It's your man once again, G-Man, the ad man. It's another beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Well, Wednesday morning, headed into the afternoon. You can tell that I'm anticipating payday already. I'm already asking, they're saying things like it's the afternoon. Hey, but it's, yeah, it's been one of those months, man. I need that payday to arrive. Anyway, it's amazing. We have another great show ahead of you today. It's been another interesting week of advertising. There've been a few developments in some campaigns that we spoke about before. There've been some new business wins that we're going to talk about, and then we're going to hang out with the guy that I told you about on Facebook. Some of you might know him. But we're going to get to know him a bit more. We're going to get to know his establishment a bit more. But let's start with that Ford campaign that I was telling you about last week. It feels like I'm a huge fan of it, because I actually really am. I saw they released I think two more from that series of that Adult Well campaign. Adult Well. I said that in the office yesterday, and I said Adult Well campaign. I said Donovan Goliath and Loiso are in an Adult Well campaign. People said Adult Weld. That happens as well with part of education. Well, Weld. You know, same thing. So you know, it's an Adult Well campaign that is for Ford Focus. And it's really, really cool. I think those performances are really, really great. There's one that's about David Orders. That's the third one. You have to check it out. I mean, I don't think I'll do it any justice. But you have to check it out. It's some really, really dope work. And then I was reading the other day, just this morning actually, that MNC Sachi Abel have been appointed the agency for Strong Bow. Look at that. So congratulations to those people at MNC Sachi Abel. For the Strongbow account, apparently they come from the same stable as the Heineken people. I don't know if Kai Lang has anything to do with this, so it says here they have a relationship with Heineken, and they'll be launching Strongbow. I don't know if you remember, if any of you guys are old enough to remember Crossbow Cider. And I wonder if that's the same thing. I wonder if there was the same one that I think Antobela. Remember that stuff? You know, I mean, maybe I'm showing my age now. But there was a campaign that I think Antobela was for Crossbow. He was punching apples. I mean, that's how you know that thing's gonna fuck you up. You know, they're gonna put a heavyweight boxer in an advert. You know, he's punching apples, and these apples are gonna be in the same cider that you're gonna be drinking. So I wonder if that's the kind of stuff we should expect. You know, they should maybe put weight funny character in there, running faster than an apple. You know, because that was at the time, Tiga Tumela was kind of equivalent of Wade Van Niekerk, you know. So that would be dope. I think congratulations to the guys at MNC Sachi Abel. We look forward to seeing what kind of work you guys are gonna be up to. And you know, let's be careful, guys, of those things that make the adverts that make the pots not to happen. You know those adverts that I'm talking about that make black folk go hi. So I'm hoping that's not what we're going to be dealing with. But it's going to be a dope show today, man. It's going to be a really dope show. It would be remiss of me to not talk about Black Coffee Gate. you know, guys, it's amazing, because I always try to find, you know, what is actually something like that? What does that do to your brand? You know, so up until now, we've known Black Coffee as the guy who's been hanging out with P. Diddy. You know, you guys have been talking about that as well. That, you know, that hand that smacked that road manager is the same hand that shook P. Diddy's hand. You know what I mean? So the brand Black Coffee has been inspirational, and it's been, you know, it's been attached to things like BET Awards, and it's been attached to collaborations with guys overseas. And young kids out there have always been going, damn it. Now, if there's a DJ in this country I want to be like, it's Black Coffee. And then, one Saturday in Polokwane, one guy says the wrong thing. Some guys were not meant to set up at the time when they did. And then someone catches a young smack across their face, you know? And what I was wondering is, what is it? What do we think that does for the brand Black Coffee? Do we think now that you know, the one thing it could do is, it could just elevate and escalate his feed cred. You know, because everyone just says, you know, over and above him being the guy who's gone and done all these amazing things with international stars, he still hasn't forgotten the fact that, you know, he's still from the hood. You know, and you still can't fuck with him. Whereas I think the corporates might think, yes, is this the guy now still that I want attached to my brand? Is this the guy who I want to associate my brand with if he's out there in the streets smacking people? But let me know. Tell me what you think. You know, do you think that, you know, as somebody who works in advertising or somebody who works in branding, do you think that now changes the way you approach or whether you would approach Black Coffee? You know, does it make you go, oh, I really wanted to use him in my Strong Pole campaign? You know, but, you know, now that he's smacking people around, I don't know whether that's the right representation for my brand. Or are you the kind of brand that says, you know, so you think you can spin, you know, so you know that, you know, it's about your hood credentials, you know, so you know that you can still attach Black Coffee to something like that because your hood credentials depend on it, you know, he still knows how to be corporate, but he can still smack a motherfucker, I mean, a guy, if he absolutely had to. So hook me up, hit me up on Twitter, at Blacksim, at BLAXDM, or at Cliff Central, and let's chat about that. Tell me what you think. Tell me if you would still hire Black Coffee, you know. And then let's talk about the smackie, you know, the guy that got smacked, you know. How do you recover from something like that? Is that the kind of thing that also makes his like employees go out there and say they're gonna press charges because their brand now depends on how they're gonna react to something like this. Is it gonna make them feel like, okay, this is the kind of place where you can, you know, this establishment, if they're in charge, if they're part of your show, you can go smack somebody and the brand's fine, you know. Is this now something that they're going to be doing in order to salvage how they look in front of people, you know? I mean, the guy got smacked, it's done, you know, in our eyes, but there's something that needs to be said for the brand and how the brand reacts to that. It makes you think, okay, maybe it's not over. Maybe AKA needs some kind of retribution so that his brand is not tarnished by the fact that, you know, his road manager got smacked. So there's a whole bunch of dynamics going on out there, you know, that just stem from the fact that somebody got smacked across the face. And then let's think about the cap. That cap that flew across the room after that guy got smacked. Let's talk about that brand. What brand of cap was that? And why was it not tight? You know? And how hard was that smack that cap got to fly across the room? You know? And maybe we should talk to the people who made that cap. You know? How does their brand feel about the fact that their merchandise is flying across the room from one smack? I mean, this is streetwear. You know? This is supposed to be the kind of clothing that can carry you, you know, when you're in the midst of a beatdown. You know what I mean? I mean, I think maybe these guys should be reconsidering their brand. If anybody knows what brand of cap that is, and let's put it out there, maybe that's those Guara Guara caps DJ Bongs, you know. But I doubt that because I mean, $700 worth of cap was not gonna fly like that. So if you know what brand of cap that was, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter at Blacksim, at BLAXDM, or at Cliff Central, on Twitter as well. But that's cool. You know, while you guys figure that out, while you guys call your connect about what brand the cap that was. In fact, I'm gonna shout out my boys at Book of Swag. I'm sure you guys can find this out for me. So twice, if you're out there, my man, give us a phone call or hit us up on Twitter if you find out what brand of cap that is. Anyhow, let's carry on. You heard the dope song at the beginning of the show. It's called Vura. For those of you who are not from the hood, Vura is a VR6. And the guy that I'm going to be speaking to, while to just carry on of that very, very thin segue about branding, is one of the people who are tarnishing things like the VW brand by calling the VR6 the Vura. It's a VR6. But it's essentially just gotten its legendary status in the hood. But it was suggested to us by the guy that I'm going to be talking to today. So some of you might know him because, you know, you've been to his studios, had amazing sandwiches with him, firstly, but at the same time recorded some of the work that's won some of South Africa's most coveted awards. So if you were at the Lurie's this year, you would have seen his name a few times on screen. If you've looked at the Pendering Awards finalists, you saw his name once or twice or three times or four times or five times, or six times even. And even some of the work that's gone overseas, you've seen his name on that because I think he's one of the hardest working creatives, one of the most hardest working creatives in this country, and in that space as well. So I'm not going to say too much about him. We're all going to discover you know, what makes this man tick all together. I think most of you might have figured out by now who I'm talking to or who I'm talking about. And right now I'm talking about Mr. Lovemore Nkuna.
Yeah, sure.
How are you there, Lavivi?
All right, and you?
That's how some people refer to him. Lavivi. Yeah? How are you, Lavivi? Love us?
Now commonly known as Living Tin.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's my street going name currently.
Is it? Yeah. Like, are you going with Living Tin now?
I don't know. Like it's a challenge now. Yeah. We know Living Tin. Yeah. And then there's La Vivi.
But that becomes a branding issue once
I
came Lava.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Now it's like. There's one that appeals to the first sex.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one that appeals to
No, that's cool, man. It's good to have you on the show, dude. Tell me, what have you been up to? What are you working on right now?
Actually, first and foremost, I would like to congratulate, because I've been hearing about it.
Yeah,
grabbing some of the clips on air. I mean, online.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, man. Hey, you know, one day I want to go and be interviewed with G-Man the Advert Man. You know, I want to be on G-Man the Advert Man show for an hour and just have a chat.
You're fucking my brand up now, G-Man the Advert Man.
Oh no,
that could become an entire.
No, because now I was about to even introduce myself, because I didn't know for you know with radio protocol.
Yeah.
Because in me, I'm thinking I'm the one who's introducing the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, welcome. This is Love More. I'm with G-Man, the Advent Man, on our show 11 to 12. Catch us live. Keep watching the show.
Oh, I love it. You know? Yeah, this is gonna be messy.
That's what happens.
No, that's great.
Currently, and another thing is the nerves that are settling in.
That's right.
Now, but we could.
Yeah. Thanks so much, man. Thanks so much for the love. Yeah, man. Do you see what I did? Thanks so much for the love, guys. I'm still here in a copywriting capacity as well, but. But yeah, I love more, man. It's been. I don't know, I've worked with you a couple of times.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
but yeah, let me know what are some of the big projects that you're working on right now.
Currently, just.
I mean, you can mention brand names. It's okay. We work like that. We're all fam out here.
Look, currently we're busy with the DSTV festive season campaigns.
Dope. Yeah.
And that's actually been keeping us hell of a occupied.
Yeah.
And some of the things I'm not at liberty to mention obviously these disclaimers that you make aside, you know. So currently that's something that I can mention right now is just the whole DSTV festive campaign.
Yeah, cool.
And another exciting thing is that just to tell you briefly.
Right.
So, you know, Aquanaut is a pre and post production company.
There we go, there we go.
Award winning, you know.
Yeah.
So look, it's been quite a journey for us, you know, for the past 3 years since we've been in the business.
Right.
You know, and this is something that I don't take lightly.
Yeah.
And not taking the support of the people that have actually taken our skills and offerings into serious consideration,
right?
You know, despite the fact of obviously having those people who don't, you know, because, you know.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Let's get straight into it, Lamo. What do you mean by that? The people who do what? The people who make the pots not to happen? What? Tell me.
Yeah, you know that. You know, actually, I just want to mention this.
Yeah.
That, you know, throughout me being a sound designer or sound mixer for the past 14, 15 years.
Wow, is that how long it's been?
Yeah, and one thing that I've always had qualms with, equal per se, you know, that over the past 15 years that I've worked with people within agencies and various clients, that when I was at production houses, like for Sonovision and Frequency, but to mention a few, we were okay.
And now,
you know, now that Lovemore owns Aquanaut, all of a sudden, Lovemore has become less credible or less. Do you know what I'm saying?
Boom.
And this is something that has taken me quite a lot to understand. With how guys, if I'm the very same guy that won awards together when I was at a particular production facility, how is it that it proves me less credible when I'm on my own? Do you know what I'm saying? And this is something that has gone to prove itself this year in particular. That you know what? Despite the challenges that we've gone through in the past 3 years, here's proof that
here we are right
you
now.
You know what I'm saying? We're still standing.
That's dope. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, you start on a point that I mean, I think all of us have dealt with. You know, where you know anybody who's kind of left a big establishment to go and start their own thing. It almost feels like as soon as you walk out of that door, you leave all your credibility in the previous place. It makes absolutely no sense. It's never made sense to me at all. Where the same guy who you were sitting in the boardroom with when they were at a big agency or whatever, as soon as you come to them now, or as soon as you encounter them outside of their big agency, all of a sudden you're like, yo, I don't know, hey, where's your experience? What the fuck you mean, where's my experience? You've been hanging out with me at other agencies before, and that's that. So that's amazing. I mean, and how have you handled that? How have you dealt with with all that with that response from people?
I think with me it's always been about work must proceed or supersede what we say, you know what I'm saying? So I've always been one of those, you know what, I'd rather let my work or our work speak for itself as opposed to us trying to go out there and
Right.
So for me, it's always been about pushing the passion, doing what I'm great at.
Yeah.
You know, instead of going, yeah, this is what we can do. Come on, guys, give us a chance. But he said, you know what he said? Look, let's put our nose down and grind.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. And you know what? Your work has certainly spoken volumes in the past couple of weeks. But you know what? The past couple of years actually. Well, let's actually get into it. A couple of months ago, I got an SMS, an invite. Said, I love us. It's got a launch party.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I said, how is Love Us having a launch party when it's been launched, Nick? You know what I mean? Like, I've been to Akunot a few times before and I've recorded with him a few times. Yes. Now he's got a launch party, you know? Yeah. So it obviously means something was changing. Can you take us through that? What exactly was that event about?
So basically, since the inception 2012, so Akunot has never been, like, literally had an official launch.
Here we are,
this is what we're doing, invite clients, and do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and again, it's machankura things.
That's
what's
up. That's what's up.
When the dollar's not there to gain
machankura things.
Yeah, sanganisa, you know.
As well.
So, this year we were at a point where we're like, guys, I think we've done fairly well.
Yeah.
You know, and let's also, it was also a thing that we're doing to our clients to say, guys, thank you for the support thus far since we've been around.
That's
so,
right.
And again, it was also a more of a networking session than actual launch.
That's right. That's right.
Let's invite prospective clients alike and people who've been working with so that we can have some sort of a point where we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
And look, for me it was like I was saying, that it was that platform where I can say, guys, here we are, this is what we have, this is what we're offering.
Yeah.
Welcome.
So there wasn't any kind of change in structure of any kind. It was just the fact that, you know, we have to formally introduce ourselves to the people. Here's what's up. Here's the guy that, you know, you've been coming to all along.
Yeah.
But now here's the official way, you know, of kind of...
And also just to also say that, look, this is the guy who started off with one studio 2 years ago. Now he's got three fully fledged studios.
Here we go. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
He's got an edit suite, online suite, offline suite.
What do you want?
Animation, graphic design.
Divalantonina.
You know, so again, is that it was to say, guys, this is from your...
This is the full offering.
This is a full on post-production facility.
That's what's up.
Where you can come in, you edit, you shoot... We online, we offline, and then we get everything. So now, and we also do music. We've got our own in-house producers, and we also, again, over and above that, was to also launch our... We've got now an official record label stable.
Oh, hello!
So it's called Aqua Music.
Boom.
Yeah, currently Boom. We've got our own artist called Gemini.
Okay.
Currently in production.
Yeah.
Single should be out in a month and a bit.
Okay, that's amazing. You guys are doing a lot of things.
So it's like I said, it's one of those things that we don't go out there and going, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what we're on about. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it has been all about allowing us for the work to speak for itself. Vis-a-vis going out there and doing...
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he said.
Yeah,
he just said vis-a-vis.
With white people, they will teach you this thing.
Vis-a-vis.
Me, so, I was going Versa. I thought Versus was when people are clashing, like, you know, Tep Makatini Versus, you know.
Okay, now hold on. So I mean, you say that, you know, the intention is that the work was going to speak for itself. And more often than not, just like with many other industries, the work does tend to speak for itself, right? But I mean, when you go out and expand and you have all these other services, it's obviously very important. I mean, there are platforms like this one where you go out there and you tell people, you know, that you have all these other services.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to go from the guy that people saw as, you know, the guy who does the recordings, like you said, who had one studio, to getting people to understand your credibility, and you'll see why I'm leading with this. To get the credibility that makes people go, yeah, maybe I can go and do some posts with him. Maybe I can go to him because he has titties. How does it... What does it take to kind of go to get people to understand that that's what you do now, over and above everything you used to do?
And you know, I'd like to start here that first and foremost, it's business one, ne?
Yeah.
And with business, you always have to do business with people that you're familiar with.
That's right.
And what I found as a challenge is that initially it has been about association.
That's right.
That who did you associate yourselves with
before
and
that.
Who Do you understand? Right. So that has become a bit of a challenge. But at the same time, the very same people that we used to work with when we were at those various press production companies are the very same people that we went and poached to say, guys, look, this one, give us a try. Do you know what I'm saying? But I think, again, is that, let me bring the element of Abu Dhaki.
Oh,
I'm sorry to say that.
No, don't be.
I'm gonna step in a little bit and just play on the racial line a bit, because that's also something that I've gotten to experience and gotten to be okay with it.
Okay, cool.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
You understand? That, look, unfortunately, it's Abu Dhaki, Asiko Paya, who are doing this thing. It's a specialized field.
Yeah.
So when you get someone in the same position that I'm doing, again, there's that question. Is he a credible Dhaki? Do you understand?
Are they really not? I remember a time when everyone was at LMV campus doing sound engineering. What happened to those guys?
But there's a difference between sound engineering and sound designing and sound mixing.
True.
I'd like to mention the likes of, look, Abu Kito.
Yeah.
But to mention
Got you. Shout out Kito Murevi.
Yeah. So and these are the type of guys that, for me, when I had this thing, I was going, look, maybe let's come together.
Yeah.
Form an ecosystem of sorts.
That's what's up.
You understand?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, even the same guys are not in the same mindset as I was in at that
That's
point.
That's right. Yeah.
You understand? Which also became another challenge to go, who do I go in that I can come with, that I can get as a heavy hitter who will be equally as competitive within the industry. So that also becomes a challenge.
So is that also a challenge that you're facing in recruitment?
So, in
finding people that you can work with now that you've got three studios.
Look, fortunately, I've got two.
That's what's up. Boom.
And things are working.
Yeah.
But at the same token is that Abungamla bazuspana na Abungamla.
That's right.
Because they are familiar with Abungamla. But that's it does true. Not mean good to love Mwagastra is Spanish Abungamla.
Or a singam.
and what makes it more, I think, challenging is the fact that also I'll get given Spanish Sabutaki in Japan.
Yeah.
Isingamla.
I hear you.
But, and again, I'm going, but guys, why?
Yeah. What's going on?
No,
I hear you.
Approaches, for instance.
And you know, that's, it's a very strange thing because, you know, the same people would be the people who will come to you. And I mean, I've experienced this myself.
Yeah.
These are the people who will come to you when the job is, we don't have a lot of money for this gig.
Yeah, proactive.
We're doing proactive. Yeah. And people will be in your studio.
Yeah.
Like, prompt, boom. In fact, they probably have you on speed dial.
Yeah.
I just get love more. Let's go and do. But then when the job kind of actually blows up, then it kind of goes, then let's go to.
I see in television.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, dude, but like, but how does that work? How do you then take that phone call again from these people, say 3 months down the line when they want to start that same process again? How does that relationship?
So this is what I do. I always try to stay away from politics as much as possible.
That's right.
Because
I mean, you've done well today.
first and foremost, I'm a businessman before anything else, and that's established that. I had to establish that very quick and fast.
Yeah.
That, you know, I've stopped crying over spilled milk.
That's what's
if up. People have decided, have made a choice that at some point we're only good for a particular reason or space
or genre or, of
art. Do you understand? It's okay. But all I'm saying is that you will realize when yourself.
Yeah.
You will take it upon yourself. Guti, you know what? Ngimkhawathi
lo love more. Now they need to check some stuff. That's all I think.
And can I be honest? They have been coming back.
Dope.
Young
dope.
So,
I like that.
Angazi bathi unembez or anything.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that Babuile, Bapinda Babuya.
That's dope.
So again, is that, look, one thing that also we have a problem with of late is that there's various agencies that have taken into production.
Oh, I know what you mean.
So, and this is my biggest qualm as a businessman, and also looking into how are we going to grow the business if now agencies themselves are trying to stifle business growth within the production sphere.
But some people might argue that that's what happens in a free market system. In a free market system, everyone can open what they want, whatever they want.
But look, if it's not your primary business, let's not. And again, you don't have the relevant talent to actually
put together.
To understand. So,
look, that part I agree with entirely.
For me, it's always been about a perception. Oh, no, things get done this way, they get managed that
way. That's right.
But forgetting that, look, there are systems.
Yeah.
There are people who are able and willing and able to do this thing and are very talented.
Boom.
So, and you get agencies that now are chowing into our margins.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
That's
that are poaching the very same...
Yes. I hear you. I hear you.
Into the system.
Yeah. And then compromising the quality of the work.
Compromising the quality of the work. Yeah. Then it becomes a thing like a sausage factory. Yeah. For lack of a better description. Do you understand?
That's right. So, that's right.
So again, this is another element that also is stifling growth within the culture. Post-production and pre-production.
That's
look,
great.
I've had a chat with a 30-year friend of mine from Velocity Africa, who's also sharing this very same sentiment. We used to get work from a particular client, agency of sorts.
And now,
all of a sudden, they've got the very same services that they're offering. Now they can't give them. And I'm going, but guys, how is that happening?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you some of the answers I've gotten, because I've asked the question also. And it's answers like, you know, the budgets are getting smaller and whatever. But for me, I've always thought, but that's exactly why those people should come to people like yourselves and go, my budgets have become smaller.
Yeah.
How can we work together in order to make sure that I can maintain the quality of the work, but at the same time, understanding what my parameters have become?
Yeah.
So that whole minefield, I know all about it, but I do think that we need to talk about it more and more in order to make people understand and realize that is some bullshit. Yeah. Anyway, here's what I have to do. Because even the internet needs to pay bills, I'm going to cut you an ad break. Because
we also have adverts.
Yeah, we have adverts. Yeah. It's like advert inception, advert in an advert show. So I'm going to play an ad, and I'll play one. Well, I'm going to play a track again, and then what we're going to do when we come back, love more, is I want to delve some more into some of this stuff. But I like how some shots have been fired already. So if you're out there and you think you might be one of these people that love more talking about, go get your bulletproof vest while the song plays, or duck, just duck. Or just switch it off and wait to listen to the podcast later, so that the shots don't hit you 9-9 now. So let's cut to an ad right now, and then to a track, and then when we come back, we're still hanging out with Love Monkuna of Acronode. It's your boy G-Man, the ad man. Boom.
So T, do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth, and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning in to Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Hello. We're back, yeah. We just needed to go get some water after all those shots that were fired by Lovemore. But he's still here, you know. He went and had a smoke, you know. the people in his corner just fanned him. Woo! Anyhow, we're back though. It's still your boy G-Man, the ad man. Hit me up. Do you have any questions for Lovemore? Do you want to comment on any of the things that Lovemore has said up until now? Hit me up on Twitter at Blacksmith, at BLAXEM, or on at Cliff Central, and that's on Twitter as well. Or hit me up straight on Facebook. That's Grant Stolle on Facebook. But I'm still hanging out with Aquanote in the cribble, and Lovemore is just you know regaling us with some of the stuff that kind of have become the challenges that he deals with on the daily. In this existence of his, and at the same time, you know, some of the stuff that he knows are the issues that kind of bother a lot of people that happen to be in the same space as him. So it's been like that. So you good, Lovemore? You still here, sir?
I'm good. It's just that you know when you talk about such things, and then because you see now we're nestled in this thing,
that's what's up
in the studio, and you're not exposed to the elements again. So when you walk out there, and you're thinking. Yeah. In an hour, if no calls come through, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
I never bust a rally.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, but it's not that at all. It's not that at all. You know, and I think for me, what's most important actually about platforms like this one,
yeah,
is that we have the conversations that are difficult. You know, and I'm hoping that instead of them making people, you know, catch feelings and chest pains about them, what people need to do is actually just look at themselves and see and think about what is it that I've been doing that lovers might be speaking about. You know, what is it that I think that I should be changing in order for me to not end up on the receiving end of those comments, or to not make those comments, yeah, make me feel a certain way. Yeah. You know, and hey man, this show is it's like a semira.
You know, yesterday I also had a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm a lot calmer now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get in there though.
I had a conversation with also another dear friend of mine within the industry.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're familiar with it, the whole hashtag Black Excellence.
That's what's up.
So then I also posed another question. That is, Black Excellence, is it become a thing where it's only for black people?
Yeah.
Or is it something that also white people can participate in? Because for me, I just felt...
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
When we're saying Black Excellence, are we excluding...
That's right.
...our white counterparts? Because for me, the industry is not about being white or being black, but it's also about integration. Yes, obviously the whites have had an advantage in this industry, yeah, in as yeah. far as... Do you understand?
Right.
But I just feel that we need to also understand... Oh, they also need to understand where we're going and how we're gauging things.
Yeah.
That it does not look like it's some segregation of
that's
sorts.
Right,
because
that's right.
How I've perceived some of the things and also the work that I've done and the clients that I've worked with have also had that thing, which is a black thing and a white thing.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
that
yes.
Sometimes it becomes too, for a lack of a better description, yeah. But it's condescending.
Yeah, exactly.
Condescending.
That's what's up. Condescending.
So I just find myself in a position where I want to understand that as the industry almost becoming a black and a white thing.
That's actually a very interesting question.
For some reason, I've seen now there's this sudden surge of black people wanting to prove themselves that rahona le rona. But at the same time, are we doing it because we're black? Are we doing it because we want to be?
Right. Is it to prove a point? Is it because you actually have the skills?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, you know, guys, that's also what Love More does. You know, he walks up in here and all of a sudden he starts asking the questions and I'm answering them. This is so fucking strange. Anyway, I do think that that's a very important question because, you know, for me, this whole, the pursuit of excellence, has to have a certain inclusivity about it, especially if we think that it needs to get to a place where we think it can get to.
Yeah.
Because black skin should be something that we celebrate, that all of us celebrate. You know, it doesn't matter what your color is, because it should be about making right what we think has been wrong, and that's going to take everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to take everyone who kind of, whether previously advantaged or disadvantaged, we all have to kind of band together to create some this picture of black excellence that we can all be proud of, because that'll be, you know, our way of addressing reparation.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense to me what you're saying, and it's also very important that we all understand that, you know, we need to tread very carefully on that line where we are we getting that extreme about it that it almost becomes a, you know what I mean, but at the same time, as much as I say that, it is important that we address it aggressively.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, to tiptoe around it, like Ahmed Tilly says in that in where he shoots all those shots, we can't be compromising and we can't be apologizing for it. But at the same time, I do think that there's place for it to be more inclusive.
And also, again, is that it the whole experience of being a standalone. Okay, again, I hate the term businessman.
That's right.
Unfortunately, I am.
Yeah,
or rather, unfortunately,
whichever
you look at it.
Yeah. Also, machine. In the machine.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've learned with also this a slight bit of isolation within the industry.
Yeah.
Of people not wanting to work with you because of. Also, taught me and got me to also relook at things.
Yeah.
In the sense that, then how do we then recreate an ecosystem of sorts?
That's right.
Which
that's
I've also been engaging.
Yes. We've had this chat a couple of times as well. Yeah.
So, and that also got me thinking that, look, actually, how about, because to be quite honest, Abongamla beat us with that.
Oh, no, they do. Oh, no,
you understand?
Oh, definitely.
So, there's always strength in numbers.
Yeah.
And Tina, we always like to have a sense of ownership. And this is one thing that I would like to address within the industry, that...
Yeah.
I think we need to get rid of this whole idea of sense of ownership. That's no one right. owns anything until maybe, just maybe.
What do you mean by that? Expand on that.
All right. So This is what I'm trying to get at. So if I'm company X,
yeah,
Yataki,
yeah,
that has established a little bit of a clientele.
That's right.
By virtue of me owning that space, does not necessarily mean Sekili Skulusati.
All right.
So
okay,
all I'm
mean?
Trying to say is that, guys, as Botaki, we also need to be seriously cognizant of Tabaya ecosystem.
That's right.
And rid of Tabaya ownership, sense of ownership.
Ah,
I'd rather have,
see what you mean,
10% of 100 million than 100% of 20,000.
I agree with that
entirely. And this is something that I want to encourage, but what I keep up higher within the industry. We say, guys, look, this thing at the silos, and that's where Bungam Laba Tolandi understand. So if we can actually realize or barita, I'm telling you.
Wow.
It's about your
I like that. Can you say that once again for me, Lavo? You'd rather have what instead
I'd
of
rather,
what?
I'd rather have 100%. I'd rather have 20% of 100 million than 100% of 20,000.
Boom. You boom. Know? So I think that I mean it's, if anything is horn-worthy. I think that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
And I understand that because that pretty much is for me a byproduct of us kind of aggressively going at it, that we're kind of going, maybe all I should be chasing is the sense of ownership.
Yeah.
And forgetting the sense, the fact that you're part of a slightly bigger picture. Exactly. And that's actually what we should be building.
Yeah.
And so I like that a lot. So I'm gonna change things just for a second here. And talk about the point you made earlier about the fact that, you know, there isn't a lot of talent in the sphere that you're about. So tell me why you think that is. Because I mean, I actually was thinking about the fact that I remember a time when every second guy I knew was at LNB campus.
Yeah.
And every other guy I knew was like, I'm finna be a sound engineer. Did they all end up as DJs? What happened?
The sad and true story of this industry, ne? Again, is that let me take you back a couple of years back when I started.
In the 90s.
Yeah. Well, late 90s.
Yeah.
I'm not that old.
Millennials? Yeah, you heard him.
Yeah, I didn't go to school with Madiba.
Yeah.
I'm still a young
You're in Tutu's class.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The second wave. When he went tertiary, I went sub 8.
He was your senior. Yes, sorry.
You know, so... I remember. So let me just digressing a little bit. That I found myself when I started. One engineer said to me, "And Nekingamna, Arkuna, you'll have to wait for one engineer to die before you can get a slot."
How?
Yeah. And
how? And that was just the norm.
Yeah. And this is me with my stiff kit.
Yeah.
Saku.
Yeah.
Saku. My sound school.
Yes.
I'm coming. I'm going, guys.
Yeah.
Born, catches.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like no.
Someone needs to
get okay. First. So, how many of you guys in the establishment? Barry 6. So, Kiri Hanka Podisa one, Kamusella poison. By virtue of him dying, will I? Well, we still have to consider because another Baswaba. But, long and short story of it is that, unfortunately, our side of sound is highly specialized.
Right.
That it requires or acquires or requires rather some form of creative.
That's right. It.
So Hunali sound designers, Hunali sound mixers, Hunali the sound engineers.
Right. So the skill sets
the skill sets are different. Yeah. So it's a lot challenging to get someone who is a sound engineer because a sound engineer is more technically inclined.
Yes, someone
who either do rigging,
but
also again within various disciplines.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So there's a sound engineer who sits in front of the desk
right.
and actually does the mixing, live gigs,
theaters, and whatever.
And there's also a sound engineer who's just a rigger.
That's right.
Do you understand? So again, there's that level of discipline.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people that I've had and I've tried to have in my studio to actually try and get the skill sets up are people who eventually find that this thing is actually harder than I thought.
It's because there's a lot of creativity that actually.
Because I even said, one thing is about you can teach a monkey to push buttons, unfortunately, or rather fortunately, you can always teach a monkey to push buttons, but you can't get someone to create a theater of the mind spot.
That's
or
right.
Something. Here's a script, translate this thing into a 30-second magnificent piece of art.
That's right. That's
Do you understand? So
got you.
There's that shortage of skills. Hore, yeah. They always come in with that idea, Hore, they want to be behind the desk. And when you ask them, Hore, behind the desk because
Chuang, so.
Yeah. Do you understand? Which again is that
so then in that space then does it mean that the specialization is not popular enough out
there? It's not.
So people go out there and they go, if I become a sound engineer, if I study sound engineering, I can be done with that and then I can go and make adverts. When actually how?
You're missing an entire part. They come to the studio for the first time and then they see 16 clients in the studio, their eyes goes this big. And then mouth goes dry.
Yeah.
Dude doesn't say anything. So what do you suggest?
I was thinking.
Ah, mouth goes dry.
2 weeks later, dude says, "No, thank you. Yeah, I've joined Gearhouse. I'm going to Sasani Studio.
Yeah, or I'm just going to rig.
Yeah, or I'm going to be a producer.
Right.
Yeah, I'm also a producer.
Yeah,
I've composed a couple of tracks.
That's what's up. I've heard one or two. You're not half bad, like, you're not bad. Yeah,
yes, that's
actually pretty dope. Pretty dope.
Yeah, you know, at my 45, 50s, you know, one day I'll pick up a Grammy.
No, but that's important for me because I think that. That is the part that we all actually need to be cultivating. And I think that a lot of us as agencies who walk into these studios and walk out never actually think about that.
No.
We never think about the fact that... And that's why in the very beginning I said one of the hardest working creatives in the industry, because that's exactly what you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually a creative
actually,
art.
Thank you. I'm saying, as if...
Yes,
this is me putting myself in the back. No, actually, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
because, you, because thank I, you. I understand thank the creativity that comes with that entire process. And how much you are a part of the radio spot or whatever we're putting together, as much as the guy who wrote it. So it's very important for all of us to realize why it is that we need more people coming through those walls. We actually understand that there's a sound design job to be done.
Yeah.
So do you think it's at the school's level? Should I pick up the phone and have a show with the guy who's running some sound show?
Let me tell you, there's actually an institute called the Academy of Sound Engineering.
Okay.
That is doing a very good job.
Okay.
In harnessing that skill.
Right.
You know, so for the past 9-10 years.
Yeah.
They've been getting.
And
out.
Where is this academy?
It's actually based in Auckland Park.
Okay. Inside Cloudyville.
Next door.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise.
Nothing wrong, Cloudy.
Yeah. No. So there is that institution.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because of again lack of available opportunities within.
Or information though.
And
people just don't have the information that this place exists.
And again, is that. Not a lot of people know that there is a frequency of it, or there's a Sonovision.
Right.
And again, is that unfortunately, the industry is small but big at the same time.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So, we also need to be, again, thanks for people teaching me Sowa.
That's
cognizant.
Right. That's what's up.
Of the fact that we need to then establish more businesses like Aquanode so that we create and pave way for the younglings. Now, I've actually reached a point where I need to start having boardroom conversation instead of studio conversation.
That's right.
And this is what brings me back to that conversation I was saying, that look, let's get rid of that ownership mentality and start thinking about how are we going to bring in the younglings that we are then going to be the Happy Chingilas of tomorrow.
Boom.
Do you understand?
Boom.
The Peter Bundlers. Me and you need to be the Peter Bundlers of tomorrow.
Yeah.
That we've paved way for the young ones to come and be the ones
that is absolutely
that actually
right.
Do you understand? So I think, again, is that we need to start thinking about the next implementation phase in as far as how do we get in the young ones.
That's
because
right.
They can't always be relying on the Ogilvies and the what.
Yeah.
So if you have a very dear friend of mine, Smooth Toilet, who's also one of the generators of that platform.
That's right.
Who I know 2 years, 5 years down the line, he's going to be employing more people.
That's right.
Do you understand?
That's right.
There's Makoni Media.
Yeah. Boom. Shout out Makoni Media. Boom.
Yes. So this is what I'm saying, that I want to be an advocate for people to start, guys, let's create instead of wanting to belong to a particular system.
That is so dope.
That unfortunately is still robbing us off.
That is so dope.
Genesis.
Okay, Lavivi, you know the hour flies, man. And I don't want to get to a point where you know we're getting to the end and I'm like, give us a thing, you know, because I get the sense that you're gonna, you know, you have a few more pearls of wisdom that you want to share with us. If there's anything that you want, you know, particularly the advertising industry, you know, like everybody who comes in and walks through your doors or walks through any sound studio's doors.
Yeah.
Well, if there's anything that you would like for them to kind of start reconsidering or to actually kind of go, if there's one thing you want them to go, why have I not thought about that? And how can I change that? What would that be?
You know, Kunali, dating, because lots of people butchers walk at it.
Yeah. Now, again at that. We'll have subtitles later.
Now, there's one philosophy that, I've gotten to, actually, try and pass on.
That's right. Sorry.
You know, every time you get into a particular system, there's people who follow systems,
right?
And then there's people who want to channel themselves into, and unfortunately, sometimes it works, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I've always said to people who walk into Aquanaut, especially people who are looking or seeking for opportunities with Aquanaut,
yeah,
I always say, look for an opportunity within an opportunity that will allow you to create more branches.
Right.
Like for now, we're trying to venture into film and movie scoring.
Yeah.
And to myself, I'm going, look, if we can do that,
yeah,
why don't I get someone who is willing and able to handle that particular channel?
That's right.
Like a somebody.
Yeah. Like skills like one Zetu Mashika. Yes. Shout out Zetu Mashika. What's up?
So, for me, is that everyone that wants to be part of Aquanaut must think of something that is not within Aquanaut, but something that can be facilitated by Aquanaut that is able to then...
I've got you.
Do you understand?
Got you.
Bring more fillers and create more inroads within the industry. Because it's not a one-faceted industry.
Yeah.
So we need to also consider how many avenues do we have within that, because advertising is not only restricted to...
That's right. Genesis. That's right.
It's got various channels.
And it stays growing.
Exactly.
Growing.
So for me, is that if we can find relevant people, and as I always said, if you are good at this, try and see if you can use Aquanaut as a vehicle to move you to that. Because for
that
me,
so it's so dope. I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot, Lavivi. Guys.
Living team.
Yeah. Guys, yeah, once again, like I said, the hour flies by. And wow, I mean, I feel like Lovemore has so many things that he would like to also.
Yeah, unfortunately,
you know,
this 1 hour. And the thing is, there's also part of history that I unfortunately didn't share. It only could restrict us to the current.
That's what's up.
You know?
No, but what I do think is that, you know, I saw Gareth walking past again out there, and I hope he heard my plea for another hour. So hopefully one day soon the show will be 2 hours, and we'll be able to, you know, turn them out. So
yeah, and also before I leave,
yeah.
So yeah, you know, I always observe.
That's right.
So this show is going on before it starts, and I'm going and listening to other shows. I'm like, hey. As a typical sound designer, I'm
that's
like,
right.
Yeah, but who's doing that? And as a businessman, I'm already pushing. So, I can do radio imaging.
Yeah,
here,
exactly.
Cliff Central.
That's what's up.
I can be the voice. Cliff Central.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Again, I'm going off.
Yeah,
here. This is how.
Yeah, so, he's doing it, guys.
Yeah,
he's plugging.
I'm pushing. I'm pushing
plugging.
Again.
Plugging.
I'm plugging myself.
Yeah. So Lovemore.
I need to speak to Gareth. Thanks.
Thanks for coming to hang out, Lavivi.
Thank you.
I mean,
there's
definitely going to be another one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because I do feel like there's a whole bunch of things that we need to still get into. You know, I'd like to still, you know, inspire young kids about your story, about how you got into what you do and all that. But we're going to make time for that. There will be a part 2 of this show. But I think for everyone that's out there, I hope that you've heard the words that came from this man and the passionate pleas and the shots that were fired. I hope, you know, whoever got hit, I hope it's going to make a difference in your life once you get stitched up. But most importantly, I think that go play the podcast for your mom. Go play it for the people around the studio. We didn't swear a lot, so you can actually play for the people around the studio.
No, because my mom is listening.
All right, so Lovemore's mom's listening, so your mom can listen
to
she's
actually, she just sent me an SMS, so she's going, please. So again, is that I have to speak. You know, when coming from where I come from, I must not speak as if I own the place.
That's
you
what's
know?
Up.
Yeah,
that's
so,
what's up.
Yeah.
So yeah, so go to cliffcentral.com and get the podcast.
Yeah.
But get
but very humbling, I must say. Hey, this place is very humbling.
I'm
going to know certain things that I did not know about myself, that actually I can run a show
myself.
Living Teen with G-Man, the advert man.
We'll look into that.
Yeah, it's our show now. Catch you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Oh, guys. It's been another dope show.
Thank you very much.
So once again, I mean, catch us again next week. In fact, you can play the podcast. What you guys don't realize about podcasts is that you actually can play them whenever you want. You know, so if you didn't catch the show right now, wait for lunchtime, wait for when you're sitting in traffic, catch the podcast, go look back into other podcasts. We've had amazing conversations. We've had just another one right now. And once again, like I always say, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. One is G-Man the Ad Man.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the Asians. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.